This is ESPN Chicago, WNVP, WSHE, HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
This is White Sox Weekly, your all-access pass to everything White Sox.
Swing it and drive! Deep to left! Gone!
That was as hard as a baseball can be hit by anybody.
White Sox Weekly on the home of the White Sox, ESPN Chicago. Now here's your host, Connor McKnight.
Welcome in to White Sox Weekly here on ESPN 1000. I am Connor McKnight. This is a big show for us here on the network, and I'll tell you why. Obviously, the White Sox making headlines over the last couple of days, trading Dylan Cease to the San Diego Padres. This is the show about that. We'll talk with Jim Callis, the senior writer at MLB Pipeline, about the prospects the White Sox got back from the Padres in the deal for Dylan Cease. We'll talk about what the starting rotation looks like at this point. We'll get everything set as we get closer and closer to opening day 2024. Traditions start here. Join us back at Guaranteed Rate Field for opening day. That's March 28th. White Sox will take on the Tigers at 3:10 p.m. For more information and to secure your tickets, visit whitesox.com/opening day. 1:15 is our time for Jim Callis. He is, as I mentioned, one of the premier, the OG prospect writers in the scouting business. We'll go through the players the White Sox got with him and a little bit more, too. I feel like, you know, now that the trade's been official for a couple of days, or it feels like a week, depending on how you do this whole 24-hour news cycle as we get to this point in spring training, I feel like most White Sox fans have a handle on who Drew Thorpe is as a prospect, who Jairo Iriarte is, who Samuel Zavala is as a prospect, you know, kind of the thumbnail sort of thing. But we'll go through it all for sure. I have some bigger questions about how the White Sox did relative to a Corbin Burnes trade from Milwaukee to Baltimore. I kind of feel like this is the first big trade of the Chris Getz White Sox era. Sure, there's Aaron Bummer to Atlanta for Mike Soroka, Jared Schuster, Nicky Lopez, and the rest, the 1-for-5 deal. But this is a big future-altering move for the White Sox. So I feel like grading it just a bit differently and looking at it a bit differently. We have Jim Callis help us out with that. We've got White Sox baseball this afternoon. One game on television. Our next broadcast here on the radio is the 20th. That's on a Wednesday against the Cincinnati Reds. It's a 3 o'clock start, so we'll give Tom Waddle a chance to sit back, relax, and listen to his Reds take on his White Sox here on the station. Again, that's a March 20th start at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Today, though, Chad Kuhl and Spencer Howard as the White Sox take on the Giants at Camelback. The other half of the White Sox are in Peoria facing the Mariners. That's Jake Woodford against Luis Castillo. Those are the starters in those particular ballgames. And we're getting to the point in spring training where you start to take a look at exactly who those starters are, who's piggybacked afterward, and doing a little math about what matches when you get to the regular season, or the start of the regular season. What starters could be online, or in line, I should say, to take the opening day start, to be starter number two, to be the third guy up, that kind of thing. And we'll go through a lot of that as we kind of map up the starting rotation as best as we can to this point. I want to start with you, though. 312-332-3776. That's the phone number here on White Sox Weekly. How do you feel about the White Sox trading Dylan Cease? I got some complicated feelings about it, and I feel like using the radio for therapy is at least less expensive, although probably not as effective as the actual part. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how I feel about the White Sox having dealt Dylan Cease. I want to hear from you as well. 312-332-3776. You can hit us on Twitter. I'm at C1 McKnight. It sucks. I don't like it. I don't like that this is where we're at as White Sox fans. I don't love that this is where we're at in a contention cycle. I don't like that this trade makes it a rebuild. I don't like that now we have to look forward in the rest of the season as to what may be moved from the White Sox roster now. That said, this is where we're at. And I think given the fact that the White Sox next competitive team, the next squad that's going to be in position to win the Central likely wasn't going to have Dylan Cease as a part of it. This is a business move for Chris Getz and the rest of the front office, and one that we've been talking about for months now. So, you know, kind of the rationalization behind it, the, you know, okay, Connor, can you get your baseball brain to fit around the idea of trading a guy like Dylan Cease, even though you've loved watching him pitch over the last four or five seasons here? Yeah, I can. I can absolutely get around to that. And when we talk with Jim Callis here in about 10 minutes, I think he'll explain that the prospects they got back, the totality of the players that they got back for Dylan Cease, is a pretty good return and something you can begin to use to change the future of this White Sox organization. I'll tell you just a little bit about Dylan Cease. I really enjoyed talking about baseball and life with him over the last couple of years. He was a guest on White Sox Weekly a couple of different times, and I really enjoyed talking with him in that format too. He's a good guy in the clubhouse, a guy who really came into his own as a person and player, it seemed, really comfortable in his own skin this spring training, and I think that was probably because he knew that he had to be comfortable, that this was absolutely a possibility, that as unlikely as some of these blockbuster spring training trades are, he was probably the most likely to get dealt here in spring training, across all baseball, across every roster. Dylan Cease was the guy most likely to move before opening day, and indeed he did. So I think you have to move a bit differently around a place like Camelback Ranch, where you've been for these last many years in spring training, and just kind of feel it different. And I think Dylan was able to do that, and I think that was, you know, something that probably helped in his ability to go perform and do his job. Dylan's a pretty focused individual. Dylan's a very focused individual. So having to deal with these trade rumors in and around his orbit over the last 2-3 months or so was something he was really able to handle in a good way. I'll tell you a story too about Dylan. You know, I was doing the pre and post game show back in 2016. That was my first year doing this for the White Sox. And around that time, you see the trade made for Dylan Cease and Eloy Jimenez, the Jose Quintana deal with the Cubs. And I remember going to that first spring training where Dylan Cease is a minor league prospect. He's throwing on the backfields. And you'll often hear it. I've told this story before, but you'll often hear it when guys take batting practice. You know, you'll hear scouts say, boy, the ball, it sounds different coming off of his bat. And you'll also hear it every now and again when somebody's throwing bullets on the backfield or something like that, just absolute seeds. You can hear that pop of the mitt as you walk the pavement in the back of Camelback Ranch and get your way back to, you know, field number 4 and 5 and all the way back there past the two big fields where you see the major leaguers play and get their work in when you go out to go visit the White Sox in spring training. If you haven't, you should. So I remember walking back out there, you know, taking that path and going back to, you know, find some people to talk to and watch some people throw. And I was just hearing this pop, pop, pop of the mitt. And I thought, boy, that is louder than I'm used to. That is meaner, and that is louder than I'm used to hearing. And I round the corner, and there in the row of bullpens, it wasn't on a backfield, but in the row of bullpens the White Sox have there, it's Dylan Cease, and he's throwing, and that fastball is making that noise. And I'll always remember that. You know, I'll always think back to that. It's part of the reason that I was as vocal as I was when Dylan came up as a rookie. And you heard a lot of people talk about, boys, is he ever going to be any good? Do you trade him? Does he see part of the team or a part of the prospect hall that moves somewhere else to get to this next competitive White Sox roster? No, you keep Dylan Cease as long as you can from that, you know, 2018, 2019, 2021, that kind of roster. That's the guy you keep. That's the guy you saw grow into a Cy Young runner-up and a guy that I think will be in that conversation again, albeit in the National League and for the Padres. Cease is an interesting story even now. He's starting for the Padres against the LG Twins on Monday. The Padres are in Korea. They play a couple of exhibition games before they play the Dodgers to begin their regular season starting on the 20th. That's Wednesday. They'll play two there and then come back, get some more spring games in. But in San Diego, they open stateside against the Giants on the 28th. That's their opening day. Cease had to catch two flights. He's in Korea now. Cease had to catch a flight from Arizona to L.A., then fly L.A. to Seoul, South Korea. couldn't find his passport, had to go through the house and going through expedited processes. Apparently MLB was in touch with the U.S. Consulate or ambassador's office in Korea and trying to find ways to get a work visa and all this other kind of stuff. So Cease has met his new team in Seoul, South Korea. I want to play a little bit of sound as well from White Sox general manager Chris Getz. We'll play a couple here and a couple later on in the show. Getz, before we talk to Jim Callis here coming up at 1:15, Getz did his best to kind of give a thumbnails on the three prospects. Steven Wilson, a major league reliever who I expect to make the team, also came back in this deal from the Padres to the White Sox for Dylan Cease. But here, Chris Getz talks about Drew Thorpe, Jairo Iriarte, and Samuel Zavala, the three minor league prospects the White Sox got back from San Diego.
Well, I do view three of these players have a very good opportunity to be on our 2024 team at some point. You know, you obviously got Wilson, the reliever, that's pretty much plug and play with where he is in his career. You've got Drew Thorpe that has more or less been knocking on the door, very polished. You know, he was a pitcher that you know, the Padres were strongly considering to put into the rotation to start the season. We haven't made that decision. You know, I haven't shaken his hand. I've spoken to him briefly. We're going to get to know him, obviously, more here in spring training, which it certainly is, I think, a you know, being that we're still a couple weeks away from opening day, it gets an opportunity for us to get around these players and get a better idea of, you know, who they are as people and certainly more so on players and what makes them effective. And then we'll make decisions from there. But, you know, if you're looking at, you know, Thorpe, Wilson, Iriarte, we think that there's a strong chance that they're going to be on our major league team at some point. And then in addition, Zavala, obviously a very young player and look forward to watching his growth throughout the year. He's certainly one of the top prospects in our game and, you know, look forward to shaking his hand as well.
Getz was asked also, why now? Why spring training? Why at this point did the deal for Dylan Cease work out?
Yeah, he certainly was a popular name this offseason, and I know, you know, we've all kind of spoken about that many a times. You know, we certainly had a threshold in which we felt like needed to be met for us to move on this. And, you know, we had a multitude of conversations with many teams. And certainly there's an ebb and flow throughout an off season. And you know, you've got teams that are needs are, you know, ever changing. There's free agency. And, you know, up until yesterday, we didn't feel like we had a deal on the table that we were, you know, we felt like met the mark. And, you know, it finally came together and we moved on it. You know, I think, you know, certainly Dylan, you know, he was very effective in his spring training outings. He looks very good. You know, his last outing with Cincinnati was an impressive one. And there was a lot of buzz at that game. You know, unsurprisingly, you know, shortly thereafter and into the following day, you know, teams really stepped up. San Diego, particularly, they're on their way to Korea presently. So there certainly was some urgency on their end. And, you know, with all the different factors and, you know, everything kind of coming to a head yesterday, we felt like it was a good time to convert on that trade.
So the other thing, too, and Getz addressed this pretty clearly, is if you start the season with Dylan, two things happen. One, every time you pitch him, he could get hurt. Dylan has, I think, the most starts in baseball over the last 3 years or is tied for it. And also, every start he makes for the White Sox is a start that his next team, now the Padres, doesn't get from him in this season. So there's a risk of going into the season with Cease.
You know, there's, you know, the million-dollar question of, okay, if you take this into the season, take it towards the deadline, what type of return does that look like? Well, you know, that's a risk. You know, were we willing to take that? Of course we were. I was willing to take it into the season. However, you know, there's no denying that a lot of things can happen in on a baseball field and throughout a season. So you weigh that risk with the offer that was given to us by San Diego, when we felt like that was, you know, something that was, you know, likely not to be met if we would have taken into the season. And we had a highly motivated team in the San Diego Padres that wanted to start the year out with Dylan Cease. And I understood that. It made sense for both sides. I'm sure it's a deal that's going to help the San Diego Padres, and very confident that it's a deal that's going to help the Chicago White Sox.
Getz was also asked, are you still open for business? Would the White Sox still be open to moving players essentially for prospects, whether they be major league close or younger?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, still open-minded to find ways that to improve our club and align with, you know, the process that we've established early on.
So that means with this deal for Dylan Cease, now bringing back three prospects and Steven Wilson, a major league arm, 7 of the White Sox top 10 and 14 of the White Sox top 20 prospects as ranked by MLB Pipeline were all added to the organization in the last 9 months, whether it be by trade or last year's draft. One of the guys who ranks those prospects on MLB Pipeline, Jim Callis, senior writer at MLB.com, is going to join us after a quick break. We'll talk about the White Sox return in the trade for Dylan Cease when we come back. I'm Connor McKnight on ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
On app.
The ESPN Chicago app.
In HD.
FM 100.3 HD2.
And of course on AM.
ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on ESPN 1000. I'm Connor McKnight. Joining us here on the show is Jim Callis, senior writer for MLB Pipeline. You can find his work there, Jim Callis MLB on Twitter, but you knew all that because you're a hardcore baseball prospect fan. Jim, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem at all. Glad to join you, Connor.
So Dylan Cease goes to the Padres for 4 players the other day, 3 minor leaguers, Drew Thorpe, Jairo Iriarte, Samuel Zavala, plus major league right-hander Steven Wilson. I guess we'll start here. How do you grade the package? How does what the White Sox got here compare to what the Orioles got for Corbin Burnes and the rest of the relative pitching deals we saw in this offseason and spring?
Yeah, I mean, I think it stacks up. I mean, the Corbin Burnes deal was one top 100 prospect in Joey Ortiz. D.L. Hall had graduated from our list. He's no longer a rookie. I'm not the biggest D.L. Hall fan in the world. He's a top 100 prospect for some. I think he's a reliever, not a starter in the long term. And they got a supplemental first-round pick, which was from the Orioles, which essentially would have been equivalent to the pick they would have gotten for Connor Burnes had they held on to him and he became a free agent. So they kind of got protected there. I think it's comparable to that. It's potential higher ceiling, more risk. I mean, with Joey Ortiz, who's pretty much big league ready to play shortstop, or I guess probably third base because they have Adames in Milwaukee right now. And D.L. Hall, you know, we can argue starter reliever, but he's big league ready as well. You have a little better sense of what those guys are. Whereas I think with Drew Thorpe and Samuel Zavala and Jairo Iriarte, there's more variance, but you could have more ceiling. Drew Thorpe's really interesting. All these guys you can debate a little bit. Yeah, and that's why the prospect. Yeah, Drew Thorpe was our MLB Pipeline Pitching Prospect of the Year, which is based on a combination of prospect status but also performance. He led the minors in strikeouts, swinging strike rate. And if you like him, you love the changeup. It's one of the best changeups in the minors. It's a solid slider. It's really good strike throwing. And if you quibble about him, you're like, he throws 91 to 95, and it's kind of just an average, you know, maybe fringy fastball if you want to be tough on it. But he can really, really pitch. And I'm in the pro Drew Thorpe camp. I don't think you just have to blow away guys with velocity, and I think he can really pitch. I think he's got a very high floor for a prospect. I think it's very likely he's at least a number 4 starter. I don't think he's going to be necessarily the type of guy who's winning Cy Young Awards for you, but I just think he's going to be a very dependable guy in the middle of a rotation and a really good chance to reach that. And the other two guys are, I think, more variance than that. You know, Samuel Zavala, you know, very young guy. The Padres pushed him aggressively. He got to high A at age 18 last year. And if you like him, you look at the bat-to-ball skills, the on-base skills, soft runners, fun arm.
I think there's some question as to how much power he has. And you have, you know, if he stays in center field, that matters less. If he winds up moving to right field, it matters more. I know, I think internally the Padres were a little frustrated with him in terms of getting him to buy into strength and conditioning program. Not that he was out of shape, but in terms of getting stronger. Although they were enthused, they felt like he bought in more this last offseason. So that's kind of like, you know, you could go either way on him. You could have a center fielder, you know, on base, you know, bat to ball center fielder, and maybe he gets stronger and he hits 20 home runs. And, you know, but there's also a chance he's a tweener who doesn't stick in center and doesn't have the power for a corner. And then Iriarty, no question on the stuff, Connor. It just, is he a starter? Is he a reliever? I mean, he's mid-90s up to 100 with good carry on the fastball. He's got a sharp, low-80 slider. He's got feel. He's got feel for changeup. It's not a soft changeup. It's like a low-90s changeup. So it gets too firm at times, but it really does have nice fade. And because you have to guard against the fastball and slider, it's been effective. And with him, I think it's just a question of how many strikes does he throw. You know, the control has varied. It's probably below average to fringy control right now. He just turned 22 in the offseason, so he's still pretty young. He got the double A last year. And the thing I like about him is, okay, let's say he's not a starter. He doesn't throw enough strikes to be a starter. I do think the stuff's good enough that we're talking about, you know, seventh to eighth, maybe even a ninth inning reliever. You know, it isn't like, oh, we have to put him in the bullpen and he's just going to be pitching middle innings. It's late inning stuff. So I think they did well, Connor. I really do. You know, again, they're prospects, so they're not sure things. And you can talk to people. It's interesting with all those guys. You can talk to individual scouts who like one guy and not the other. But you can see upside in all those. And the other thing I would not rule out, just given where the team is right now, you know, Steven Wilson's pretty interesting. Really good sweeper that's been very effective for him. You know, I could easily see, you know, if not now, maybe at the trade deadline, they flip Steven Wilson for a prospect.
Mm. Yeah, I could see the same thing. Talking with Jim Callis of MLB Pipeline, I want to get back to the thumbnails on the individual players here in a sec, but we heard a lot in the days coming up to this deal about Yankees prospect Spencer Jones. We heard rumors about Ezekiel Duran of the Rangers and some others there too. I don't want to drag you too much into speculation because, after all, we don't know what happens on these phone calls with GMs, but is there a way to compare what might have been out there to what the Sox ultimately chose?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know. Like you said, Connor, we don't know exactly what it is. I mean, I think the fact that we knew there were these other teams interested, I mean, I think we both assume, right, that when Chris Getz knew what he could get from A.J. Preller and the Padres, he probably ran it by Cashman and Chris Young with the Rangers and said, hey, you know, do you want to make a move? And this is what I got. Or, you know, somewhere along those lines. It's funny, like the names that came out in those deals, you know, Spencer Jones was apparently the sticking point with the Yankees who didn't want to give him up. And it's funny, I'm probably lower on Spencer Jones than more people. I know he's big and physical and he put up numbers, but he also strikes out a lot. And he's got, I mean, he's a big guy. He's 6'6". It's a long swing. I know scouts who aren't sure he can hit quality inside fastballs, turn on him and drive him for power. So Spencer Jones, like, is very interesting, but I'm probably the low guy on Spencer Jones. And then with the Rangers, Ezekiel Duran, I mean, he's interesting. I don't know that Ezekiel Duran is, like, you know, going to bat in the middle of your lineup. And there were rumors, I think, what, that they might get Jack Leiter in that trade? Well, Jack Leiter has really, really struggled in Double-A the last 2 years. So I would, I guess, take it. I'm assuming that Chris Getz did his due diligence, was talking to those clubs, and took the best deal he had on the table.
Tell me a little bit more about Drew Thorpe. I think a lot of White Sox fans, given what you talked about here at the top here and what other men mentioned, you know, okay fastball, not dominant necessarily, but a very good change, have compared Thorpe to Lucas Giolito. I wonder if that's an easy comp just because it's same player or a player that the White Sox fans are really aware of. I, for one, am very glad that the White Sox at least recouped a very good mustache in the deal. Dylan Cease
right.
had an 80-grade stash. Thorpe seems to have some really high-end potential here with the facial hair.
Yeah, I think you could go 60 on the mustache. Yeah, I don't know. Giolito threw harder as an amateur. And, like, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe they'll be similar in style, you know, in the big leagues. But, yeah, you know, Thorpe's a guy who's just had a lot of success. I mean, he's really athletic, so he repeats his delivery well. Throws a ton of strikes. You know, he was initially recruited to Cal Poly as a two-way player. was an All-American there, set a school record for strikeouts, his Yankees second-round pick. And like I said, you know, he had, you know, as good a season as any pitcher in the minor leagues last year. You know, he led the minors 182 strikeouts, 139 innings. He had a 27% strikeout minus walk percentage, led the minors. He had, I think, close to 19% swing strike rate. That led the minors. His second in wins, second in strikeout percentage. You know, he's part of the Juan Soto trade, so he's been on the move a lot. And I just think he does it differently. You know, and I mean, look, you don't have to have, you know, you don't have to throw 95, 96 to have success as a starter. And we've seen a lot of guys throw that hard and don't have success as a starter. You know, and it's not like he's throwing 87, 88. It's 91 to 95, but he commands it well. And I think that's why it plays up. And you can't really try to sit on the fastball because the changeup is so good. He'll double up. He'll throw it against lefties. He'll throw it against righties. And the slider's got good depth, too. So if you're sitting there like, okay, I'm just going to wait for him to throw 92, 93, and I'm going to jump on it, he's going to make you look bad with other pitches. And also, if you have a hole in your swing, he put that fastball in that hole. So it's not like he's just laying 92 over the middle and getting pounded. Like I said, I mean, like I think with any pitching prospect, Connor, who doesn't throw particularly hard, you will have scouts. Some scouts who are like, okay, you know, it worked in high end double A. Let's see how it works. They want to see it, you know, work at higher levels. But he can really, really pick, and I think he's going to be fine.
Two-parter here. When the deal happened, I was right at the start of bath time with my one-year-old daughter, and you don't interrupt bath time. It's just you got to keep, you know, all ships going forward there. You can't interrupt it. So I wasn't able to check the Padres rankings that you guys had before it got updated. You've got Thorpe and Iriarte as ETA 2024 guys. Would they have been that with the Padres when you had them ranked over there? How much do you alter what that ETA looks like given the state of the team that these prospects go to? As you know, the White Sox have a lot of innings that they'll need coverage for. Thorpe and Iriarte could be guys that make it, it seems.
Yeah, we don't alter those ETAs too much. Like, it might have been, I can't think of a good example. Like, if they acquired a shortstop in the trade and you're like, well, Colson Montgomery's ahead of that guy, maybe move it back. But, I mean, the Padres, even though they're in a different spot in the contention cycle than the White Sox, they needed pitching too, which is why they traded Juan Soto and got, you know, four pitchers and a backup catcher from the Yankees. I think if they've been with the Padres, I think those were both guys being looked at. I mean, shoot, last summer when the Padres were having their weird season and trying to get back into contention, they moved Iriarte to the bullpen in double A to have as a potential September call-up if they got back into the race. So, I mean, there was a scenario where he might have been up last year, you know, not pitching probably high leverage innings, but his stuff is that good. So, no, I think you could see both these guys. Like, I had sat down, I've been running around spring training, and now we're doing these spring breakout games, and I'm not sure what the White Sox rotation looks like right now, but I would assume that we'll probably see both these guys, you know, maybe even by midseason. I don't know that they would necessarily make the team out of spring training, and I haven't really had time to catch up on that. But, you know, I think both these guys will probably open the season in Charlotte, and I think we could see them pretty quick.
I'm glad you got us there because one of the last ones I've got for you here is with Michael Kopech going to the bullpen for the White Sox now. Nick Nastrini has been very good this spring. Wondering if you can give us kind of a thumbnail of where Nastrini was at the time of the trade and now what you've heard about him in Arizona. It seems as though Nastrini could make a run unless the White Sox sign somebody like Michael Lorenzen who's out there to get himself into the opening day rotation.
No, you're right. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. Like, I would think, you know, and again, we don't know what they're going to do between now and then. I would think if the season opened today, Nastrini would probably be in their rotation, right? Like, I mean,
yeah,
I would think. I mean, we're looking at what, like, Fetty, Soroka, Flexen, Crochet, Nastrini,
yeah,
like right now,
yeah,
stuff like that. But no, you know, Nastrini, you know, super, super interesting guy, and Nick Nastrini. I mean, he's got, you know, in terms of four pitch stuff, probably as good a four-pitch repertoire as anybody in the White Sox system. You know, he does need to throw more consistent strikes. That's always been the deal with him. You know, he was a high-profile guy at UCLA, kind of lost a strike zone early in his draft year in 2021 and kind of got buried at UCLA. Like, he just didn't pitch, but, like, he was in the Dodgers' backyard. They knew him. They got him. They helped him get back on track. But, I mean, we're talking – like 93 to 98 with tremendous carry. He's got a tight slider. He's got a curveball with depth. He's got a mid-80s changeup with tumble. Like, his pitches almost move so much that they're hard to command. Yeah, like, he might be one of those guys that almost would be better with, like, the Rays approach, where it's like, your stuff's good, just throw it down the middle, and it's going to move and stay off the barrels. But, you know, I think with the Dodgers, he was one of – they probably have about 8 or 10 young pitchers. Some of the guys got to the big leagues last year in Double-A and Triple-A last year who were pushing for the big leagues. And with the White Sox, I mean, there's obviously a lot more opportunity. So, like, I mean, just looking at it real quickly, I would think as of today, he very well might make the opening day rotation.
Looking forward here, Jim, as we wrap this up, I wonder now where Chris Getzhead is at regarding what's on his major league roster. Do you think that this deal with Dylan Cease going to the Padres, knowing the Sox got back two players, like you mentioned, in Thorpe and Iriarte, who could impact the big leagues in 2024, did that increase or decrease the likelihood that Luis Robert is on the block as we approach the deadline? Obviously, the control is different. The level of player is different. He's a position player, not a pitcher like Cease. I can't help but think, where next for this front office as it tries to enrich the White Sox organization in the years to come?
Yeah, you know, I think the White Sox approach, even when you go back to like the Chris Sale and Adam Eaton and the Quintana trades, and I think we saw it with the Dylan Cease deal, I don't know that they're actively shopping it. I mean, I think you have to listen. I mean, they're in rebuilding phase. It's going to take a while. They're not going to be an instant contender in 2025, so I think you have to listen. But I think they've done a really good job with their higher-profile players that have been desired by other clubs and had a decent amount of control to them of kind of establishing, okay, this is what we're looking for, and we're going to wait until we get it, rather than, hey, like when the Marlins had their fire sale when the new ownership took over a few years ago, it's like, Giancarlo Stanton, all these guys must go. Well, you're undercutting yourself if you're, you know, imposing deadlines on yourself to trade guys. So I don't know if it makes Robert any more or less likely, you know, this trade specifically, to depart. I just think the White Sox, as they should, I mean, you have to do your due diligence on all your guys, especially when you're rebuilding, are going to listen. But I don't think they're in a situation where they're saying, hey, we want to trade him by July, or we want to trade him the next offseason. I think if they get an offer that blows him away, they'll trade him. And otherwise, you know, he's under control for a while. I think they're just going to hold on to him unless they get that offer.
Jim, really appreciate it. Thanks so much for the time, and looking forward to reading more about the upcoming draft prospects here as we get closer and closer to that standpoint of summer. We're not too far away from it. You got your work cut out for you.
I know. I got to get home from spring training and start working on the draft again. I'm looking forward to it.
Jim, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, Connor.
Sox baseball is back. Join us at Guaranteed Rate Field for opening day, March 28th, as they take on the Detroit Tigers at 3:10 p.m. All fans in attendance will receive a clear tote bag presented by BMO. To purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com/promos. The trade and the move of Michael Kopech to the bullpen leave some questions for the White Sox in the rotation. We'll get into all of it when we come back right here on ESPN 1000.
White Sox Weekly with Connor McKnight.
On the home of the White Sox.
ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports. Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Welcome to White Sox Weekly on ESPN 1000. 1000.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. Have you ever dreamed of being in a White Sox ad? Well, now's your chance. Show your White Sox pride and share your favorite ballpark memories with us for the opportunity to be featured in a commercial, digital ad, billboards, and more. They'll make you a star. Submit your photos or videos at whitesox.com/fan. Again, that's whitesox.com/fan. Been recapping the trade of Dylan Cease to the San Diego Padres. Drew Thorpe, Jairo Iriarte, Samuel Zavala, and Steven Wilson, the three prospects and one big league player the White Sox got back in return. 312-332-3776. Question to you is, How'd you feel about it now that it is complete, the thing we've been talking about for months now? Talked to Jim Callis earlier in the show. If you missed it or you want to listen to it again or hold on to it or share it with your friends, download the ESPN Chicago app. Every episode of White Sox Weekly is available for download at your leisure to listen to the great interviews we've got. They do the work. I just ask questions. Speaking of questions asked, Chris Getz, White Sox general manager, had a press conference a couple of days ago. This was after the morning after the Dylan Cease trade went official. I believe that was, what, Wednesday night into Thursday morning? Yeah. So Thursday morning, Getz spoke to reporters and discussed this next domino after Dylan Cease was moved to San Diego for the players aforementioned. Michael Kopech is going to the pen. Here's Chris Getz.
So Michael is going to be transitioning to the bullpen. You know, we've made that decision. We've talked to Michael, and his next outing is going to be out of the bullpen. So, you know, that he's a very talented arm, as we all know. And, you know, he's going to have ability to get outs, you know, towards the back half of the game. You know, I can't say that everyone and our pitching staff has the ability to get outs like Michael does. So, we look forward to seeing what that looks like. But, yeah, we've made the decision that he's going to be going to the bullpen.
A little bit more from Getz here on this decision and the outcomes after it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you have the front part of the game and the back part of the game, obviously attacking the zone is important regardless of where you're pitching. Now, when you're trying to navigate, you know, the early innings and your pitch count is raised, and although you're getting some outs, you're also perhaps getting some walks, and, you know, just really, you know, raising a workload that we felt that we were going to run the risk of perhaps overtaxing our bullpen, and the remainder of our pitching staff. So, we were looking to find, you know, some starters that can be more efficient on the front end to help navigate a season. We know that Michael has the capabilities to get anyone out in this game based on his stuff, and he did show that as a starter, even in, you know, his spring training outings. However, you know, being a starting pitcher and the desire to go deeper in the games and be more efficient is something that we were aiming for. So now this transition, you know, we hope, you know, kind of the smaller bite of the apple, so to speak, in reliever outings, whether it be one or two innings, is going to be something that's going to be perhaps easier to accomplish for Michael and be better for the White Sox.
That's Chris Getz. The translation essentially is we didn't feel that Kopech could be efficient enough with his pitch count to keep us in a healthy spot bullpen-wise, so he goes to the bullpen, and the guys that we do have that trust to be more efficient are going to stay there. I'm a little surprised by Michael Kopech going to the bullpen. I had some smart baseball people tell me that this was a possibility, and nothing against them. Appreciate them letting me know. I thought there'd be a little bit more of a leash for Kopech, given the way this White Sox roster sets up. But long story short, moving Michael Kopech to the bullpen probably means that he's going to be more valuable faster to a big league team. That big league team may not be the White Sox. You heard Chris Getz say earlier in the show and earlier in that press conference that he's still open to trading players. I wonder if Michael Kopech to the bullpen, where I figure he'll excel because you can throw two nasty pitches, one nasty pitch and one okay pitch out of a bullpen if it's a pitch as nasty as Michael Kopech's fastball, and not really all that close to the strike zone and still get outs in this game if the spin rate and the velos as elite as Kopech's is. Wonder if that might not be the future. As for what's next in the rotation, well, depending on how games go here in the first couple weeks, the White Sox may only need to pitch the fifth spot in their rotation twice in the first 19 games of the year. That's the way the off days work out. So I'm going to give you tiers of the guys I think that are likely to be in this starting five as we open the season. I think we'll go through a lot more pitchers than just five in the rotation, though. Tier one, I've got Fetty, Flexen, and Soroka. Eric Fetty, Chris Flexen, and Michael Soroka. They're tier one possibilities. These guys, virtual locks to be in the opening day starting five. Tier two, I've got Garrett Crochet and Nick Nastrini. I know Garrett's been working as a starter. I've got him tier two instead of tier one, where I think a lot of other people might have him. only because we've not done it yet before and Garrett had some injuries pop up last season, Nick Nastrini's pitched really, really well. Tier three, guys like Jake Woodford and Chad Kuhl, who start today in the split squad action, Jared Schuster, Drew Thorpe. We heard Chris Getz talk about Thorpe being a guy who the Padres were considering having in their opening day starting five rotation. And then I'll give you two off the beaten path a little bit. Michael Lorenzen, who James Fegan of Sox Machine did some reporting on and said the White Sox have kicked the tires about. And Mike Clevenger, who pitched for the Sox last year. And Bob Nightingale has said the White Sox could be interested in a reunion there. Tier four, guys like Brad Keller, Tuki Toussaint, Jonathan Cannon, and then two more free agents. Who knows? It's possible. I'm kind of speculating here. Rich Hill and Johnny Cueto are still out there, and Rich Hill probably could pitch until he's 50. Nick Nastrini starts on Sunday, Drew Thorpe Monday for the White Sox, and that means Nastrini and Thorpe are in line, technically, to pitch games 4 and 5 of the regular season. The only thing there is that those are games against the Atlanta Braves, who are very good, and Nastrini and Thorpe would be making their first big league starts against a very, very good offense, not exactly a welcoming committee. Plus, with all the days off, like I said, the Sox are, you know, they've got time to kind of mess around with this rotation before they go to Bridgeport to open things up against the Tigers on the 28th. So I wouldn't say that the rotation as it exists in spring now necessarily tells you what your starting five is going to be once we get to the start of the regular season. That's just, as best I can see it, a look at the White Sox pitching depth. We got some news and notes to close out the show when we come back. It's ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly
on the home of the Chicago White Sox,
ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
On app.
The ESPN Chicago app.
In HD.
FM 100.3 HD2.
And of course on AM.
ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly.
We are closing it up here on White Sox Weekly. I'm Connor McKnight. Sox fans head to the ballpark on Saturday, March 30th. The White Sox take on the Tigers at 1:10 p.m. The first 15,000 fans in attendance will receive a White Sox hoodie presented by Guaranteed Rate. To purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com/promos. Happy St. Patrick's Day weekend to all of you from this Irishman. Have a safe and responsible weekend, although I know that's have a safe and responsible weekend, regardless. A couple of news and notes items that I wanted to get to here before we say goodbye. We'll start from the latest and work our way back a couple of days. As you know, we're a weekly show, and a lot's happened for the White Sox roster here over the last couple of days. Just as we started the show today, the White Sox did make a roster move. Reliever Nick Padilla, who had a couple of stints with the White Sox last season, has been optioned, or rather, I should say, pardon, reassigned to minor league camp. So the White Sox now have 50 players remaining in camp, 29 pitchers, 4 catchers, 8 infielders, and 9 outfielders. Eloy Jimenez not playing today in either of the split squad games. Third straight game he's been out. Daryl Van Scowen of the Sun-Times tweeted that Eloy says he'll play tomorrow. Shane Drohan, the Rule 5 guy from the Red Sox, who'd been dealing with a nerve decompression. I'll be honest, I don't know what that is. It does not sound fun. Good news is he'll start a throwing program just after spring training wraps up. Sox hope to get him on the MLB club at some point this year. Remember, Drohan's got to be on the 26-man roster or the MLB injured list. Otherwise, he gets offered back to Boston. Jimmy Lambert with some shoulder soreness. He's seeing Dr. Neil Elitrache for a second opinion. Prelander Baroa threw yesterday. He left the middle of his workday against the Rockies on Monday. Lenin Sosa optioned to Triple-A Charlotte. And Peyton Burdick was DFA'd. He's an outfielder they picked up off waivers from Baltimore. Sox needed a 40-man spot for Jairo Iriarte, who they got from the Padres. He was already on the Padres 40-man roster, so that makes him a definite option for some major league work this season. That's going to do it for us here on White Sox Weekly. Big thanks to our producer, Jack McGrath. We'll talk to you next Saturday right here on ESPN 1000.